mountain we will climb. Every ray of hope we shine. Every blessing left behind is only by
sister, for that music and inviting us all to worship here in the house of the Lord. I greet you in the name of our Lord and our Redeemer, who is Jesus Christ. He is the reason that we are here, and He is our redemption. And I sat down this morning to read some scripture. I had some extra time, and my eyes were drawn to this scripture, and I just wanted to share this with you from section 76, because the Lord has great promises for those who believe, those who are faithful, who trust in Him. And it says, I, the Lord, am merciful and gracious unto those who fear me, and delight to honor those who serve me in righteousness and in truth unto the end. Great shall be their reward, and eternal shall be their glory. And to them will I reveal all mysteries, yea, all the hidden mysteries of my kingdom from days of old, and for ages to come will I make known unto them the good pleasure of my will concerning all things pertaining to my kingdom. Yea, even the wonders of eternity shall they know, and the things to come will I show them, even the things of many generations. Their wisdom shall be great, and their understanding reach to heaven, and before them the wisdom of the wise shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent shall come to naught. For by my Spirit will I enlighten them, and by my power will I make known unto them the secrets of my will, yea, even those things which I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor yet entered into the heart of man. And we praise our Lord and our God who is willing to give us these gifts and blessings and enlighten our minds and our thoughts. I pray that you would continue to remember our brother Bill and all those present here this morning as we continue in our worship by singing hymn number 353.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we once again come before you, Father, knowing that you are that great power, Father, that lies behind all creation. It's, Father, in the name of your Son, even Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we come to you and speak to you now. And, Father, I pray that as each one here has assembled, we might come, Father, with a proper level of humility. And we know, Father, we're all beggars, and even this day, Father, before we rose, you blessed each and every one of us. So, Father, this morning I would remember to pray for my brother Eric and his responsibility of leading this meeting. We pray, Father, also for Brother Bill as he has that weight upon his shoulders to bring forth those words, Father, you have given him to share. So we pray for both of you, brothers, that you might sustain them, Father, in this hour. And, Father, now as we go into our meeting, we spend our time, Father, in worship and learning of you. We ask that your Spirit be here with us, Father, that you might touch each heart, Father, here and lift each person that they might know that truly our God is among us. Father, we pray these things even in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, we're grateful for the many things that we have, all that thou hast given us and blessed us. We pray for those who give and those who would. Pray that thou would bless us throughout this service. Bless our speaker. For all this, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I have one short verse of scripture that I'd like to share with you, that call to worship. It's found in the book of Genesis, the third chapter, the third verse. Behold, my beloved son, which was my beloved and chosen from the beginning, said unto me, Father, thy will be done, and the glory be thine forever. To stand before you this very beautiful morning to welcome you to the house of the Lord. So I greet you in that sweet name of Jesus Christ. As I've looked out on your faces, I've seen those many miracles that have been wrought in your life, those prayers that have been answered, those times that we have shared together in this place under the influence of that Holy Spirit. And it's a challenge for me this day to stand before thee each one, and to proclaim that word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a beautiful day the Lord has granted unto us. We've just celebrated that resurrection of his life this last week. And now again this morning, we see the resurrection of new life all around us. As I was driving in on Blue Mills Road, the redbud trees were just so glorious in their splendor this morning. And that sun that was shining brightly on them. And we've been able to behold all of those beautiful flowering trees, the beautiful flowers, all springing forth in that new resurrection of life as they have waited with us during that cold winter, waiting for that moment to spring forth in that array of beauty. I'm especially in tune with this, God's creation, his spiritual world, his creatures especially. I'm in the calving season at home, and I was able to watch one of my cows give birth yesterday. And it was quite an experience. I've seen it before, but it always thrills me to see that newness of life come into this world and become that living soul. All of these creatures that God has created for us have living souls. And that mother's love is something special. They start mooing with a very low moo as they're licking that newborn calf, licking it dry, to associate its voice so that calf will know its mother's voice, just as we are to know that voice of our Savior. He truly is knocking at the door of our heart this day. He wants to enter in. He wants to abide in us as our friend, as our Savior, as our Redeemer, giving us that most precious of all gifts, that gift of eternal life. I'm thankful for the special music this morning as well. And it brought me back to the thought of seeing my sister sitting in the congregation, my sister Dorothy, C.V., and her son Mark. And the many times that she accompanied me during those special music. So it's very pleasing to me to see you in our midst this morning, Dorothy, very much so. And thank you for your talents that you've shared with us along the way. I thought we might share some of those purposes of God that he purposed in his Son, Jesus Christ. As I read there in that verse 3 of chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, "Behold, my beloved Son, which was my beloved and chosen from the beginning." And unto me, he said, "Father, thy will be done, and the glory be thine forever." He was created in the beginning to be chosen, to be that holy sacrifice for the sins of the world, to take upon us our individual sins, that we might be washed clean in his blood, that atoning grace that he has provided for us. And he only wants for us that which is good, having fulfilled the will of his Father, being lifted up upon the cross, giving his life's blood for our redemption, to bring his gospel, his holy gospel, those plain and precious truths that are ours to have in these three standard books that we hold as our guide to our path of life, to our journey in life on this side of heaven, to bring to us his plain and precious truths, and to be that very gate that leads to that celestial glory. We're told it's only through him, it's only through Jesus Christ that we can come back into the presence of God the Father. And he has given us these words in the book of John concerning him as the true vine and we as the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So it is the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to purge us or to prune us of those things that would make us more fruitful in his sight. So I'd like you to imagine with me that very pruning, that pruning in your life. I'd like you to think and pause it a moment. What are those things in your life that you need to be pruned of? Perhaps might be selfishness. Prune that from ourselves. Perhaps it might be worldly folly that we need to prune from ourselves. Or maybe it be pride that we need to prune from ourselves. That truly we might become a more fruitful people in his service. And in Galatians we read these words from the Apostle Paul sharing us what these fruits that we're to increase in. It tells us that the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Jesus wants us to be that lamp to our feet, and that light unto our path. We have come this day with many of those thoughts and desires, I'm sure, that he might fill us with that Holy Spirit, that we might be challenged anew, that we truly might understand his perfect will for us and his purpose. And of course, his probably main purpose is to bring us back into the presence of the Father through his judgments, through his redemption, and through the resurrection. Now turning to the third book of Nephi, the 12th verse, we can read very plainly what the purpose of Jesus is. Behold, I give unto you my gospel. This is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, that as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father, to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled, and if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. I thought about his mighty purpose in establishing Zion, that holy city, that place of refuge, that place of safety. He says that he will establish Zion, and we are to be his helpers, to become that pure people, worthy of that residence in that holy city, Zion. I believe that will be the only place, perhaps there in Jerusalem, where we will be safe from taking that mark of the beast. And we know what his judgment is for those that would take that mark: eternal damnation. Not a very pleasing thought to think on this most beautiful day. Well, from section 45 we read these words: and with one heart and with one mind gather up your riches, that ye may purchase an inheritance which shall hereafter be appointed unto you, and that should be called the New Jerusalem, a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High God. And the glory of the Lord shall be there, and the terror of the Lord also shall be there, insomuch that the wicked will not come forth unto it, and that shall be called Zion, that New Jerusalem. It has a place. He has purposed a place in that city for you personally, as we endure those trials, those temptations, those persecutions, those tribulations that we'll be facing, even as we are also facing this pandemic, this scourge that has gone across not only this nation, but the world. We truly don't ever need to come back to that which is normal. When you stop to think of it, we need to exceed that which is normal. But to be open in our heart to receive that gift of Jesus Christ, that Holy Comforter. And to exceed that which has ever been normal in our life. To sing praises unto His holy name. To glorify Him in the resurrection. And that gift that He has given to us liberally. What is our purpose this side of heaven? We were created spiritually in the beginning, along with Christ and all the angels. Scriptures tell us that mankind was created just below the angels. So what were we created for? I believe one of those reasons was to come to this earth to receive a body. I think all mankind, it's God's plan to have them come to this earth to receive a body, to be a part of that resurrection. And later to be assigned that glory, that celestial glory, highest of all glories, where God the Father and Christ the Son will be present therein. I wondered if I should share this aspect of that, but I think I will. Those gifts that God has given us and our children are those spiritual gifts from heaven. And we have that responsibility to teach them the ways of righteousness. Not only them, but our grandchildren, our siblings, our relatives, our friends. This is our responsibility. But we see in this life that many people are giving back that precious gift. Which is an abomination in the sight of God. It says, woe, woe unto them that offend one of these little ones and not accept this gift and are willing to sacrifice it and give it back to God. Woe, woe unto them. It would be better for a millstone to be tied around their necks and they were thrown into the sea. We must truly make our stand against this abomination. Pass that which is normal. More fruitful. More willing to serve. To render that which is our reasonable service. Even if it's just giving a thirsty person a drink of water, that reward will not go unnoticed by our Lord. We're told that the whole law of God and all the prophets hold upon these two commandments: to love God with all our heart, might, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourself. To prune from ourself that selfishness that we have, that pride, those worldly lusts, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. To do the works that we've seen Jesus do. You've seen that effect of your prayers. Of course, of those ministrations that you've received. Those mighty miracles that have been wrought in your life because of your faith and your holy prayers before the Master. The works that we have seen Him do, we are to do also. We are to take upon us that cross of Jesus. That's the true mark of discipleship. To take upon us the cross of Jesus. And to do that, we are to deny ourselves of all ungodliness and every worldly lust. Plain, simple, most precious in His sight. And to endure unto the end of our lives in faith believing, becoming an overcomer. Have you ever thought of that word? Overcomer? Overcoming the world? Overcoming temptation? Overcoming your pride and your place, your vanities? Those things that are taking you away from your assigned duty on this side of heaven. He wants a pure people, sanctified people, to be most holy in His sight, to receive those miracles and those manifestations of His Holy Spirit in rich measure once again here in this very place. Fulfilling our purpose. We know that this is a probationary period in which we live. A time to meet God. I shared this definition in a prayer service not too long ago, that very definition of the word probation. And this is the meaning of that word. We are on probation, each one of us. Probation, the release of an offender from detention, subject to a period of good behavior under supervision. We have been released as that offender from that fall of Adam, that second death, from that detention, subject to a period of good behavior, that period that we are to sanctify our lives, to be made holy before Him, under, of course, His supervision. He wants to walk with us every day of our life, to be our closest friend, to abide in us. He is faithful. He is willing to be your advocate before the throne of God as you would humble yourself, asking Him of forgiveness. He is willing to manifest Himself to us in that walk of His friendship with us. All we have to do is whisper His name. Just whisper His name, and He'll be there to lift us up, to carry us through that last trial, that last temptation, to purge us of those low desires. Is the Spirit abiding in us forever? And we are to walk hand in hand with Him. Hand in hand. The Scriptures tell us that He's reaching down His right hand. Many of the Scriptures tell us the very same thing, His right hand. He wants to hold us tightly in His right hand. And why is that? Because He wants us on the right side during that time of judgment. He wants us to be His sheep on His right side. But then we know the goats will be on His left, that will be going away into utter darkness. But those on His right hand will be received into glory at that day of judgment, into that place of paradise. Some people have already experienced that out-of-body experience and have seen that place. They experienced His holy love. Never, ever to leave us alone. That's His promise. No matter what pitfall, no matter what sorrow, no matter what affliction that we have to endure, He is going to be there with us and to eventually redeem us from the fall of Adam, to open those gates of paradise, to save us from that second death, to restore us to our perfect frame in the resurrection. And we're told not a hair of our head will be lost, not any infirmities, no scars. But we remember in Christ's resurrection that those scars that He had in His hands and His feet were never really healed completely. And why was that so? Because He might yet be a witness. He might be a witness, not only to His disciples there in that room where He appeared to them after His resurrection, but to you and I, and to those people during the course of the Nephites, when He showed His hands and His feet to them, and told them to come unto Him and feel the prints of the nails in my hands and feet and the spear wound in my side and know that I am Jesus Christ, your Savior, your friend, your Redeemer. I want for you the very best that I can give. And that is the gift of celestial glory. Even so, amen.
our Heavenly Father, once again, we offer our thanks to you, Lord, for the beauty of this time of year, for this springtime, for this beginning of new life, and for this hour that we've had to spend, Heavenly Father, in the presence of your Holy Spirit, thanking you, Lord, that you have given that to us, that we can come to your house of worship, that we can lift up our voices and our thoughts unto you. We thank you, Lord, for this time, and we pray that you will continue to be with us, that we might be receptive to you, that we might have your Spirit to be with us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.